Amen. Could you stay standing? 4s and 5-year-olds and 6-year-olds can go to Bible study time. We have an age-appropriate Bible study for them. Praise the Lord for those that are serving. Say a prayer for them. Say a prayer for the kids. I was praying for the kids' Bible study today that God work in our children. Maybe in our children would be spared from a life of sin rather than have to live a life of sin and then be spared. God is good. Amen. So that's why we have this study. Today we're talking about the qualities of a disciple. And we're going to be talking today about a good farmer. You could turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 6. That's where we're going to be today. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 6. A good farmer. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 6. Now I'm going to start a little bit earlier because I want to remind you some of the things that we've already looked at. And then we'll just camp on 6. One verse. 2 Timothy chapter 2, starting in verse 3, it says this: "Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since its aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. It is the hardworking farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you the understanding in everything." May God bless the readings of His Word. You can be seated. All right. It is the hardworking farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. That's what we're going to talk about today. The simple, simple statement, but packed with truth that the Lord has for us today. So just so I can help us unpack this truth today to give us history, all of us are coming at different points of the series, and I want us to kind of understand kind of the history of what's going on in this passage. The Christians around this area are being persecuted. Paul was being persecuted as well and finds himself in jail. He is not going to get out of jail this time, as he has in many other letters that were written while he was in jail. He's been abandoned by his fellow Christian brothers. He's even been abandoned by key leaders. And he sits there in prison. And he doesn't have any hope that he's going to get out to continue the ministry God gave him. So what he's trying to do is pass the baton on to his disciple Timothy. He's passing the ministry on. But he's scared because he's passing it on to a wavering young pastor. A guy that's wavering and not standing secure. So Paul exhorts Timothy in this passage to share in suffering. Now he starts with that statement, and you can imagine how that didn't give much comfort to Timothy, as he's already seen so much suffering. But what he's going to do is he gives us three illustrations, three roles that are going to help him understand how to stand well and be fruitful in the midst of suffering. How to share in suffering well and still be fruitful. You know, it's really important that we understand that as we look out in our world, sometimes we can look at things and see the suffering and see the difficulties and find ourselves hopeless and discouraged, wondering how in the world can I flourish in this? For some of us, it's really personal. It's how can I flourish in this suffering in my own specific life? How can I be fruitful? And so he gives Timothy these three illustrations. So 2 weeks ago, we learned that we are to fight for the cause of Christ as a good soldier. To fight for the cause of Christ as a good soldier. And a good soldier stays focused on the cause of Christ and does not get entangled in worldliness. That's one of the things that we looked at and learned. His motivation is the one that enlisted him. The words that he will one day hear: "Well done, good and faithful servant." His focus is on Christ. Last week we learned We are to run this life race as a good athlete. And what we learned is what this word compete means. That a good athlete competes according to the rules to reach the goal of Christ. Because his motivation, just like the soldier, is Christ, but to receive the reward of Christ. Ultimate reward being him. But also rewards, crowns, and things that we'll receive for the works that we do here on this earth. And today we're going to learn about some country stuff. Some country stuff. This city slicker right here is about to open up some knowledge about some country stuff. We're going to talk about the country. We're going to talk about a good farmer. We're going to learn about the good farmer by digging into the illustration given to us by God through Paul. Why? So we can be fruitful while we're sharing in suffering with our eyes on the harvest. The first point I want you to see today that we're going to build off of is this, that good farmers labor intensely for the harvest of Christ. Good farmers labor intensely for the harvest of Christ. Now, New Testament Israel was first and foremost an agricultural society. The average Israelite in the first century was a farmer. It's important that we know that. Now, their life revolved around seasons. Around the seasons of planting, the seasons of reaping, the harvest, the cycle of rain, the dry season, define the time when various crops were planted and harvested. But one of the interesting things that happened within those times is that after the reaping took place and after the harvest was there, after everyone, all the farmers had went out and grabbed all the harvest and taken it all in and then put it in barns, something very interesting would happen. The farmers would leave, and many of the poor people would come around to the farm and start picking over what was left. They would pick the leftover fruit around its edges. There was actually a law put in place to allow this, to leave some on the edges for the poor. But they would go there intentionally to get what was left over. And I want to ask us a very pointed question today. Are you a believer today that benefits only from the labors of others? Are you just picking off of someone else's fruit? Or are you experiencing the fruit of your hard work for Christ? Are you experiencing the fruit of your hard laboring for Christ? It's so easy for us to find contentment living off of someone else's fruit. And it could have been your mama's fruit, who is a dedicated Christian and a prayer warrior. Could it be your wife's fruit, who's praying and seeking the Lord with all her heart, or your husband's fruit, or the children. It could be your parents' fruit. It could be some fellow believer's fruit that you're able to indulge in and find joy in because of the work and labor they've put in. But Paul uses the farmer as a picture of the Christian life and service to Christ. It is a faithful servant who enjoys the sweet fruit of hard work. A faithful servant who enjoys the sweet fruit of hard work. Now, I want to walk through in this passage three ways we must work so that we can see the harvest of the Lord. Three words I think are in this illustration that we can explore together so that we can see the harvest of the Lord. The first one is this: we must work intentionally for the fruit of the harvest. We must work intentionally for the fruit of the harvest. Paul knew what it took to be a farmer. I know that what we see about Paul is we always see him as a city slicker going into the city, because his missional strategy was to go into inner city centers and start churches so that they could reach those places, because those places were distribution centers. And if the gospel was planted in a city, then it could be distributed to all parts of the world, because he knew people come into the city for fun. People come into the city for pleasure. People come in the city for stuff that they need. And as they came in, they would hear the gospel and then they would go away with the truth of Christ. So his strategy was to be in the city, but he wasn't always in the city. Paul's missionary journeys took him to the great cities of his day. However, Paul spent plenty of time in small market towns. While he was traveling, he went through rural areas. When he went from city to city, he was in the country. And he saw farm after farm after farm. He was probably known by farmers. He probably knew a bunch of farmers on his way. Maybe he stayed at houses, we don't know, of farmers who took him in. But it's important to know that almost every household farmed in some what job his... In fact, Paul would have grown up in the farming community, no matter what job his specific parents had. He would have joined families and friends at dawn and gone to the fields at harvest. He would have helped neighbors and others when there was the reaping. He knew what it was like. He knew the hard work that farming took. He understood farming, and he understood that the people that he was looking at were going to understand that too. Now, we don't. But it's important to know that as we look at this today, it was a very big part about the way the world was working there. But apparently, Paul was concerned about Timothy. He was concerned that he would become lazy in the work of the Lord. He was concerned he was going to be lazy. See, a good farmer is not lazy. You know, in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 4, it says, "Lazy hands make for poverty, but diligent hands bring wealth." Here's another proverb. Just look at it. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 15 says, "Laziness brings on deep sleep, and the shiftless go hungry." And God dislikes the lazy farmer. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 4 says, "The sluggard does not plow after the autumn, so he begs during the harvest and has nothing." Proverbs chapter 24, verse 30 and 31 says, "I passed by the field of the sluggard and by the vineyard of the man lacking sense. And behold, I was completely overgrown with thistles. Its surface was covered with nettles, and its stone wall was broken down." See, what's happening, God is not, he's worried that Timothy here is going to, as he hands this work of the Lord over to him, is going to start becoming more lazy with it. It's not going to work hard at the work that he's given. Paul is urging Timothy to labor for the harvest, to labor. Now, the word translated farmer means tiller of the ground. It's a man who operates a farm, a farmer, and a farmer is a worker. He's worker. And you know, as we understand the farmer, a farmer's work is never done. Just to give you a little picture, farmers seed must be sown, soil must be fertilized to keep free from the weeds, plants must be protected from harmful pests and watered, fences must be kept in good repair. At harvest, time crops must be cut, threshed, gathered into barns. The work of a farmer is never finished. And one of the things that we see here is that the work is never going to be done. Now, Jesus stated the problem for us in the work of the ministry. That the harvest, he says, is plentiful, but workers are few. The harvest is there. The harvest is plentiful. As he looked at those who didn't know Christ, he said the problem isn't the harvest that is ready to be reaped. The problem is the workers. The laborers are few. Now, the chores on a farm are endless. Farmers' hours are long. And the believer, like a farmer, his work is never done. Now, the problem is, a lot of times what we do is we look at work and we see work as a bad thing, don't we? We kind of, and then we'll go back, well, it's because Adam and Eve. Work is a result of Adam and Eve's fall. That's their fault. They did this to us. But if you take your time to go back to even the fall of humanity, when Adam and Eve disobeyed God and sin entered the world, it wasn't work that was the consequence. It wasn't work that was the discipline. It was the land that was cursed. Work isn't the curse. The land was what was cursed. If you look at Adam, he was working before the curse. And he didn't have a problem with it. The work is not the curse, but the problem is sin that creates hard with the soul, makes the work difficult, that makes the work a battle, like we looked at it as, with the soldier. It's sin that makes work difficult. Paul reminds Timothy that he had to put his hand to the plow, and there's no looking back. You know, I tell my kids that, you know, it's funny when kids grow up, they don't have work to do. And I'm like, enjoy your time now, because in a little bit, you are going to have to work and you will never be able to stop working. Enjoy the summer break, because this isn't real life. This is not how it's going to be. You see me getting up, you see me saying it, that's how it's going to be. You're going to have to work. That's how real life is. And Paul's looking at Timothy, and he's looking at him, and he sees the great work before him, and all the persecution, and all the hard times, and he's like, I just got to tell you, Timothy, young Timothy, I just got to tell you, you're going to have to just accept you're going to have to work. Work is going to have to be part of what you accept you're going to be doing in life. See, the farmer's work comes first before the fruit. And so many times we look and we have great dreams and we have great ambitions and we're like, oh, I just want to see this happen, my marriage to flourish and the community to be reached, and we want to see that, and we have great visions and we put them down on paper and we write it all out and we have it. And we, in order to see that happen, it's going to take work. A work that is done for the Lord. And it's going to be hard. And if you are, as you say, some of us say, well, I didn't sign up to work. I didn't sign up. But let me tell you, in Ephesians 2:8-9 says, we've been saved by grace through faith, and this is not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not by works that no one can boast, but God has prepared us for good works, which He prepared in advance for us to do. God has created us and made us to do good works for Him. As we accept Christ, as we come into the family of God, we have been assigned, we have been given a responsibility to work hard for Jesus. But this work doesn't have to be a bad thing. We don't have to think through the worldly way of looking at work, that work is negative. Work can be a great blessing, can be a great experience in what you're doing for the Lord. We need to change the way we think about work. See, Paul is urging Timothy to labor for the harvest, to be committed to working, because there won't be any fruit without work. It's the way God works. He gives us this example so we can understand it. The second thing I want you to see here is that we must work tirelessly for the fruit of the harvest. Now, the word hard working, this word is a Greek verb meaning to labor to the point of exhaustion. Now, to labor to the point of exhaustion, that's a very intense word that he uses here. Now, with this farmer illustration, farmers in ancient times worked long hours, back-breaking labor until all kinds of conditions, through all kinds of conditions, with the hope that their physical effort will be rewarded by a good harvest. They had their eye on something. There was a reason they were working hard. They were working for the harvest. Now, apparently, Paul wasn't just concerned that Timothy was going to be lazy, but apparently Paul was concerned that he would just try to get by, put in the minimum effort in the work of the Lord. Why did he use such an intense word? Work tirelessly. You're not only going to have to be committed to work, but you're going to have to be committed to a tireless worker, to work tirelessly, which means work without being tired out. You're going to have to go at it and be willing to work the long hours for me. Not be willing to just put the minimum. Not be willing to not be in it just to get by. Just to say, well, I went to church. Well, I did my ministry today. I served that one person. Not just to do enough to check the things off of the list. He's not saying that this commitment that he's asking us to be in order to be a good farmer is a commitment that just checks things off of the list. It just appeases the people that are watching you. No, he's saying that this is a tireless work. Is what he's calling him to. A tireless work. See, a good farmer does not do the minimum. It is so easy to just try to get by in the Christian life, because we have so little sometimes, so little expectations of one another, and sometimes so little expectations even of ourselves. We can look at the common Christian and we can just say, well, I'm doing way better than him. We're doing way better than her. Do you know the average Christian right now goes to church once a month? I was talking to a lot of pastors, and you know, it used to be the trends. You'd get them to church in the morning, church at night. It would be two-time churches, church all day. It used to be the standard. Everyone accepted that. It wasn't unusual to just be in church all day. Now it's like, yeah, you know, sometimes I go. But if I don't feel like it, if I'm not feeling it, I don't. Somebody, have you ever heard that? I just wasn't feeling it today. It is easy just to do what we have to do. It's easy just to live in a way where we try to get by. That's not what God's called us to. That's not what a good farmer is going to be. That's not how you're going to bear fruit. When times are difficult, that's not going to lead to that. See, Paul is urging Timothy to labor intensely for the harvest. And in Paul's day, this hard work was done by hand. They didn't have tractors. They didn't have things to make it easy. They didn't have all these kind of mechanized harvesters. So you could tell I'm a city slicker. I don't even have the right name for that stuff. No other modern labor-saving devices. That's what we'll call them. The farmer had to be up at sunrise. And he saw no end to his day, no end to his labor until sunset. Hard work. Difficult work. Farming is hard work. Paul knew that what he's talking about when he says the hardworking farmer. Paul needs Timothy to know, and he needs us to know, that you can't skip hard labor and still enjoy fruit. You know, we don't like to think of it as work, and it shouldn't be thought of as work, just as work shouldn't be thought of in a negative way. But getting on your knees and praying for your children is going to take some work from you. Getting on your knees and praying for your community is going to take some commitment from you. Getting out your door and going to your neighbor and loving your neighbor is going to take some work for you. I have a neighbor next door to my house that has a leak in his ceiling in his bathroom, and I'm so busy right now, and he's like, can you help me? Can you look at it? So I go and look at it, and he's like, you're showing me what it is, and I think I know where the leak's coming. He's had all these people come look at it, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I think this is it. He's like, can you do it? Do it. And I'm like, yeah. So I left, and then you know, sure enough, he's texting me, when can you do it? You know, I have people coming. I need to get it done by this day. And he's like, when can you do it? And I'm like, oh. So I had to give him a date, and this week I'm going to do that. And I'm like, ah, I got to work hard. What does this have to do with the gospel? What does it have to do about, well, it's about me showing the love of Christ to him. That might be what this is. And last week I had a breakfast with them and shared the gospel with them. So this is on the heels of the gospel message. And I get to show Christ as I shared Christ. There's work to be done, church. There's work to be done. And I don't want to, with everything in me, want to go fix this ceiling. I tell you, inside me, I'm just like, ah. But, hey, you can ask me next week if I did it or I canceled on them. No, I want to do some work for Jesus. Paul urging Timothy to do this. Farming is going to be hard. Paul knew that what he was talking about. You've heard the phrase, right? No pain, no gain. It's kind of really what is being kind of shared here with this hardworking farmer. Early and long hours, constant toil, plowing, sowing, tending, weeping, watering, reaping, and storing. They endure many things farmers do. They endure the cold, they endure the heat, they endure the rain, they endure the drought. Sometimes weather comes in and destroys their crops, and they got to endure a year working other jobs to just make ends meet because the crop didn't work out. They plow soil. Man, what an illustration. What an illustration of what it takes to work for the Lord. Can I get a witness in the room? That the work of the Lord is not easy. You know, that change is not easy. How about the work in your marriage? Being gospel-centered and living like Christ in your marriage is not easy. Oh, we needed a louder amen on that one. Man, we need... You know, and we don't get to push it off. We don't get, the farmer doesn't get to push off the work. When it's time to plant, he's got to plant. When it's time, when weeds appear, it's time to weed. Right? When the crop is mature, it's time to harvest. You know, when you have an argument with your wife, it's time to talk. It's time to apologize. Again and again. And again. And again. Just turn to your wife. If you have a wife in the room, just say sorry. Because it's a good practice. Just say sorry. You probably did something this morning. I mean, you know, it's going to take work. It's going to take work to see the fruit in your marriage. It's going to take work to see fruit in relationships. Church, it's not going to take just you go out and you see somebody on the streets, share the gospel, salvation happens left and right. It's going to take some work of sharing and loving and preaching the truth and sharing the truth and meeting them with the gospel and showing them. It's going to take some work to see many people coming to Christ. The work of the Lord is not going to be easy. It's going to take hard work and it's going to be tiring. It's going to be tiring. Where do you put it in? Where do you fit it in? You got to still fit it in because it's got to become a prominent reality of your life, of your marriage, of your ministry, of your children raising, of your neighborhood relations. It's got to be a primary work of your ministry. Do you get it? Farming is hard work. Do you get it? See, by using this ministry, Paul was speaking by this illustration about hard work of the spiritual life and ministry. The Greek word translated hardworking is almost a technical term in Paul's vocabulary for ministerial labor. The ministry of the gospel, preaching the word of God, serving, shepherding, requires strain, struggle, diligence, all of which are suffering, aching. Not so romantic, huh? Not so romantic. But man, when your eyes are on the harvest, you do things with purpose. See, Paul told the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, he says this, "Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that the Lord your God will labor is not in vain." Your labor is not in vain. God is clear. This truth is not fuzzy or controversial. It takes hard work. Now I want to ask you this question. I forgot to ask the first one. Are you lazy with the work of the Lord? The question I want to ask behind this point, the first one, are you lazy with the work of the Lord? The second question I want to ask you with this point is this. Are you only doing the minimum in your work for the Lord? Are you just trying to get by? No one would say anything at church. You're doing it. You're doing it, checking it off the list. Are you just trying to get by? Now, the third thing I want us to see with this illustration that I think we can learn is this, that we must work patiently for the fruit of the harvest. See, the Greek participle, hardworking, is descriptive. The verb means ongoing labor, reoccurring trouble, incessant difficulty, persistent deep fatigue to the point of exhaustion. So the spiritual farmer is involved in a never-ending exertion. Ongoing exertion. Apparently, Paul was concerned that Timothy would quit when he was dealing with difficulty in doing the work of the Lord. He was concerned he'd be lazy. He's concerned he'd just do the minimum. Then he's concerned when it got tough, he'd quit. He'd stop. And you know, a good farmer does not quit. Now I'm just going to tell you the bad news right away. The things are going to go wrong in your Christian life. Things will go wrong in your ministry work. Personal growth will take way longer than you think. You'll be like, why am I learning the same lesson again? I just learned this last year and I'm so stubborn, I'm having to learn it again. Can I get a witness in the room from somebody who's frustrated with themselves? Growth in your marriage is going to take a long time. It's taking a long time for him or her to change. Just telling you the truth. If you thought that this growth, your marriage was going to grow quickly, relationships are going to take time. Ministry growth is going to be long. Reaching the lost is not going to be a quick process. Us impacting, God using us in some supernatural way to impact Garfield Park is not going to be a quick thing. But when things go wrong or take a long time, it's easy for us to throw in the towel. A farmer, church, must work patiently until the harvest. Amen. You know, it's also, he's really referring to delayed harvest. A delayed harvest. Farmers work, and then they just kind of, they're waiting for the harvest to come. They don't get to see instant gratification. It's so countercultural, the way our world works. Everything's quick, everything's fast. We've mentioned this a lot in this series because it just seems to be, the themes keep pointing back to this difference between, like, the last week when we talked about the athlete, that it's not a sprint, it's a marathon, right? That it's not an instant reward. It's a marathon to the reward. Ultimately, it'll be beautiful. And it will, when you get there and see the reward, Christ himself, you'll never want, you'll think of the times you thought of quitting or thought of wavering. And you'll remember how good he is in that moment for sure. But Paul is urging Timothy to labor patiently for the harvest. Fruit does not always come quickly. The fact is, most of the time, we, like a farmer, experience delayed fruit. In times of delay, though, in delayed fruit, in the times of waiting, we get discouraged. Let's be honest, right? In times of delay, prayers, you know, God's not changing a person fast enough. Husband, wife, man. I'm just trying to help the pair. It's hard, man. Marriage can be difficult. I'm just trying to help. You could get discouraged. You could get impatient. Become hopeless. It's a really dangerous place to be. And often really quick after hopelessness, when you just don't see any light, you quit. You quit. Paul needed Timothy to know that even after working hard, the harvest might be delayed. Because don't you just know, you know, people just preach these messages. They're like, just work hard for Jesus. Just work and go share Christ and this and that. And then the harvest. And then all of a sudden you're working hard. You're doing all the work. You're loving people. You're serving people. You're sacrificing for people. You're doing the things. You're doing the dishes. And then the next, doing the dishes again. And then, you know, you're just trying to see your wife, see you love her or whatever it is. Or, you know, I'm not talking about my marriage, you know, because I'm not at all. Not at all. I'm just saying, you're doing the work, right? You're doing it. And you want to see the instant change, instant gratification, and then it doesn't. It's delayed. I'm like, did you see me? And still nothing. Did you hear me? And still nothing. It's crazy, but that's the way it goes, right? Sometimes the hardest work you will ever have to do is wait on God to bring the fruit. Sometimes the hardest work is going to be waiting. You know, I love James chapter 1, verse 3. He says, count it all joy when you face trials of many kinds, because the testing of your faith develops perseverance, which is patience. That word can be translated patience. And patience must finish its work so that you'll be mature and complete, lacking in nothing. They're tests of faith. Trials are tests of faith. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, check this verse out. It says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. Labor. But God's the one that gives the increase. God's the one that brings the growth. We got to focus on our job, not God's job. We got to focus on doing the work and trusting him for the harvest. Looking to him to be the heart, the one that's going to work in the hearts of the people that we're loving. Work in our marriage, work in our wife, work in our husband, work in our children. But we got to do the work. We can't just sit back and say, oh, you know, God got to do the work. And we sit here lazy. Or we just do the minimum. Oh, you know, I'm going to bring my kids to church, but you're not having Bible study with them. You're not trying to work scripture through with them. You can't just look back, quit in the work and then think that there's going to be fruit. Work is connected. Our personal responsibility with the sovereignty of God, we're going to have trouble ever really fully grasping that whole deal. But it's true. We are called to personal responsibility to do the work, and God is in His sovereignty. He's at work. To will and to work according to His good pleasure, he says. Only the faithful servant enjoys the sweet fruit of hard work. So I want to ask you this question behind this point. Have you quit on the work of the Lord? First question, are you lazy in doing the work of the Lord? Are you just trying to get by and do the minimum for the work of the Lord? Have you quit on the work of the Lord? And here's the kicker. Good farmers enjoy the fruit of their labor. They will. I love what he says here. He says, is it a hardworking farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops? The first share. You know, even if he has a bad crop, even if he has a small crop, the farmer gets a share of the crop. You don't think that he's going to take some corn for his kids before he starts selling it? He gets first dibs. He's there. He did the work. And he gets to experience the fruit of it. The phrase can be translated, it is necessary for the farmer to receive. It is necessary for the farmer to receive. After the hard work comes the farmer's reward. After the hard work comes the farmer's reward. The principle here is all through Scripture. We don't have time to go through all of it, but we find this principle that of labor and reward in Scripture. Now let me just show a few things. The soul winner tastes the fruit when a person turns to Christ under his ministry. The shepherd tastes the fruit when a couple starts obeying the Scriptures in marriage. The discipler enjoys the sweetness when a student seeks to please Christ at home. The believer is blessed when the ratty-looking attender trusts in Christ or takes a step in his relationship with Christ. Paul was always looking to produce some fruit in his labors. You can see him say it in Romans chapter 1, verse 13. I have planned to come to you so I may obtain some fruit among you. He was looking for fruit. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 22, when he's in jail, and he's talking about getting out, he's like, God, I'd rather go to heaven and be with you right now, but if I am to live on in the flesh, this will mean fruitful labor for me. If I'm going to live, it's going to be fruitful labor. I'm going to work, and I'm going to work to see fruit. See, fruit may not come for a long time, but we need a vision of fruit. We need a vision of the harvest, church. We need to have our eyes set on the harvest. You understand, in each one of these illustrations, there was a forward-looking reality that was bigger than this world, bigger than the circumstantial things that we're dealing with here. We look at the soldier, and the vision was to please the one who enlisted him, looking heavenward. We see in the athlete that the goal with being a great athlete and working hard, competing hard for Christ, is the reward, heavenward. The reward that we get in heaven. And we see even in this one, right? We see that the hardworking farmer, the vision is to look heavenward at the harvest. You know, it is true that some fruit will not be experienced until we get to heaven. The biggest harvest the Bible speaks about is at the end of the age, when we will be able to, when we stand before God and we will be able to see the result of the seeds that were sown, the results of the prayers that were prayed, the results of the work that was done, the things that we never would have been able to see because they're not always visible and they're not always tangible, they're not always seen. But we will see all. The harvest that has come into heaven, the harvest of souls that have come to Christ that we got to be part of, the great harvest of the Lord. We'll meet people who are in heaven because we sowed a seed of the Word of God, used our gifts, served them in some way, led them to Christ in some way, who'll be able to see the fruit of the harvest? And we'll enjoy it. We'll enjoy it. Now, are you a believer? Remember in the beginning we talked about what happens in harvesting, that some of the poor people come around and they pick the leftovers after the harvest. They pick the fruit of others that have done the work. Do you find yourself today living off of the fruit of others? Living off of the hard work of others? The spiritual growth of others, the maturity of others. You're leaning on someone else's grace, but you're not growing in grace. You're leaning on someone else's love, but you're not learning to love. You're leaning on the power of the gospel to save you, but you're not sharing the gospel You're leaning on the work that has been done by someone else, but you're not taking personal responsibility to be a hardworking farmer and do the work that God called you to do. If you want fruitfulness, some we get to see and experience here on earth, in our marriages, in our personal lives, in our families, in our neighborhoods, we will see fruit. We see that. Paul expected to see it. We need to have a vision of expectation to see fruit here. But we also need to have an eternal view to see ultimate fruit of the harvest one day. But are you experiencing the fruit of hard work for Christ in your life? Are you lazy in your work for Christ? Have you given up in your work of Christ? Are you just doing the minimum in the work for Christ? I wonder today, are you a hardworking farmer? Don't just live off the fruit of others and the hard work other people have put in. Merely picking off the fruit, the leftovers of the harvest of others. But do the work that God's called you to do, and experience the fruit that God brings through work of planting the gospel, sharing the gospel, living the gospel out in the lives of others. Amen. You can see fruit in your marriage. You can see fruit in relationships, fruit in your children. You'll see fruit if you have your eyes, if you're working for the fruit. And there'll be some things that you just have to wait to see. There'll be some things that you're just going to have enough faith to trust God. Amen. To say, I believe He's at work even though I don't see it. I believe that my work wasn't in vain even though I don't get to experience the fruit of it. And that'll be faith that will grow in trials and difficulties and mature you. Because even though you might not see the work of your actions, you'll see the fruit in your own heart, in your own growth. God's about fruit, and you know sometimes we gotta be willing to accept these kind of statements and that we've been looking at these qualities of a disciple, and hopefully each of us today can say, you know what, I'm gonna change my vision, and I'm gonna start having a vision of the harvest. Can you do that today? Just for a second, just close your eyes and just think for a minute about your marriage, and what if there was just fruit, so much fruit there. What if you could have a vision for the harvest in your block, in your neighborhood, in your relationships? Man, what a beautiful thing that would look like, right? It's important that we know what we're working for. Amen. So that we can work hard for that. Will you bow your heads and close your eyes with me today? As every head bowed and every eye closed, we always have time for people to respond to the Lord. Maybe it's one of these questions that were asked. You find yourself lazy at the work for Christ, or just doing the minimum, getting by, or quitting the work of Christ. Maybe that's where you're at, and you need to just come and say, God, I'm going to get back right in that way. Or maybe you just haven't had a vision of the harvest. You've been working really hard without anticipation and faith. And you need God to once again remind you what you're working for. And maybe some of us just are out of the game because we've lost that vision. The harvest is plentiful. Know that. Jesus said that. Workers are few. Let's get back in and do the work. By every head bowed and every eye closed, the worship team is going to play a song for us today. And as they play, I invite you to respond to the Lord if He's working in your heart in any way. Prayer partners are here. The altar's open.